Last time we saw in detail the convergence of the QR method for eigenvalues. It is important to add some remarks about the behavior of the sequence of matrices A sub k in case some of the assumptions is not fulfilled. Just remember that we require diagonalizability of the matrix distinct moduli of the eigenvalues, and finally the strangest requirement was the LU factorizability of the inverse of the eigenvectors matrix X. What happens if, let us start from the last of these assumptions. If Y is not LR factorizable, convergence occurs, but in a disordered way. I mean disordered convergence. I mean that the final, the limit matrix T has the eigenvalues on the main diagonal, but not arranged in decreasing order of moduli. Not necessarily arranged in decreasing order of the model. if one or both this one or both of these assumptions is not fulfilled, there is convergence to a block upper diagonal, upper triangular, sorry, triangular matrix T. The T is the shape of the limit matrix T is again upper triangular, but in the sense of a block partitioner matrix. It is clear that substantially always some kind of convergence happens. An important question regards the rate of convergence. We already remarked that the lower triangle, the generic entry A sub I sub j in the lower triangular parts of A converges to zero as O of lambda sub I over lambda sub j. To the power k. So it is important that these ratios are small in models. More in detail, since the most common case is the Hessenberg case, in particular, three-diagonal case. That is, I start from a matrix A that is already in this form. This structure is maintained during all the construction of the sequence. So, the Hessenberg form has this shape. The entries which converge to zero are those located over the lower co-diagonal. So they are have indices I plus 1 I. So the ratios involved in this estimate of convergence are I plus 1, I only. Well, how can these numbers make as modest as possible in models? The idea to obtain this effect is to shift the matrix. So I am speaking about the so-called shift technique, which is a must for the QR method. It consists in factorizing QR, not the matrix A sub K, but the shifted matrix A sub K minus me is an approximation of some eigenvalue. When I perform a step k, I factorize this matrix . I compute next matrix A sub k plus 1 as the product in the reverse order. This matrix is similar to I write here the product of these two matrices, which means identity recognize here the matrix uh, mathematics, so A sub k minus shift matrix. It does multiply, you obtain sorry, the right definition of the successive matrix, the next matrix, is this. It is not correct. I add the shift which was subtracted from A sub k here, as before, plus the same term. So here I have plus. But let's multiply this by this. This by the identity minus, so we have minus again identity plus the sheet that has been reintroduced. These two terms vanishes, and I finally obtain the unitary similarity. Which links the new matrix to the previous matrix. So we can begin a sequence of unitary similar matrices with a great advantage due to the fact that the eigenvalues, the ratio which measures the rate of convergence now is the ratios are the ratios between the eigenvalues of the shifted matrix. So I have below of the new ratios are there, are those, and the right choice are commendable. Me close to some eigenvalues, but I don't know the eigenvalues. So the possible choices of these sheets, there are many strategies. The simplest choice, that is called a simple shift. The name of this strategy is QR with simple shift. The shift me is chosen as at the step k as the last entry over the diagonal, last entry along the diagonal over the matrix of the current matrix. The rate of convergence is greatly improved. There is a nice result regarding Hermitian matrices or symmetric or Hermitian matrices. Hermitian matrices. The strategy of simple shift, that is this strategy, the simple shift strategy
guarantees. A cubic convergence. It is as if here would be a 3 by k exponent.
Are there possible useful remarks? The overall complexity, just 2 words about if we have Essenberg, let us suppose to be already in the Essenberg case, the preprocessing from a generic A has, however, a cubic cost. For per iteration, there is a complexity of n squared flops per eigenvalue. With the shift technique, a constant number of iterations, say 3, 4, 5 iterations for eigenvalue. So if we sum all the partial amounts, we have n squared. A constant, a small constant, C, by the number of eigenvalues, which is n. So we have again a cubic total. Well, a few words also about a similar iterative method. The main difference is that the QR factorization is replaced with the LU or LR factorization. I mean that there exists an older, because it was proposed before the QR method, iterative method for eigenvalues called just LR method, iterative method for eigenvalues. The definition of the sequence is analogous, so we start from a given matrix. Factorize it in L by R form. Next matrix is defined as the product of the two factors in the reverse order. A sequence also in this case of similar matrices which are not unitarily similar, since you can see the new matrix in terms of the previous matrix as
L.
L sub 1.
Previous matrix. Inverse, sorry.
Of L sub 1.
Previous matrix, L sub 1.
Or, analogously,
R sub 1 by previous matrix, the inverse of R.
So all them are similar matrices with the same eigenvalues, and it can be shown in quite similar way as we have seen in the QR case. Under similar assumptions, we can gain convergence to an upper triangular form. The assumptions are the diagonal identity. For distinct modeling of the eigenvalues, what changes? If we call again the matrix of the eigenvectors as x before, we require that x is LR factorizable, and also its inverse y. So both the matrices involved in the diagonalization and Y must have this kind of factorization. But there is another obvious assumption that must be required. You will remember that this factorization not always exists. There are matrices which do not admit this factorization. So we also must require that all the matrices in the sequence are LU or LI, we are calling the second factor with the letter R, are LR factorizable. The fourth assumption is the critical point. The reason why this method is not very often used, since we cannot be sure in advance that all the matrices produced by the procedure will be LR factor 0. So the proof of convergence is the same. It is a bit simpler than the previous case, because we do not require phase math. It is analogous. But we have possible breakdown. I find that some steps, say the 10th step, computer. Fine, the metric C is up 10, which has C 0 in position 1, 1, indices 1, 1. This matrix cannot be factorized, so the method breaks down. This is a serious problem. Moreover, even if all these assumptions are verified, are satisfied, there are possible instances of stability. We know that when we use unitary matrices, unitary transformations, we have always stability. And in this case, transformations are made by the matrix R or by using the matrix L, which are not unitary. Another negative aspect is that symmetry is destroyed. The Eisenberg formula is maintained also in this case, but if I start from a symmetric matrix, this theoretic method builds a sequence of matrices which will not in general be symmetric. So this is another serious instance, negative instance of this method. This just for completeness of information. I would like to say you something more about the initial transformation from the generic matrix A to the Heisenberg form. We know that this transformation can be easily performed by using Hausdorff unitary matrices. But there are infinitely many other ways to transform a given matrix in a Heisenberg form. This can be seen in a clear fashion if we introduce the so-called Krylov matrix related to the given matrix A and a vector say x sub 0. What is this Krylov matrix? This is a square matrix. Let us call it K. Defined this way. The first column is this vector x sub 0. The other columns are each obtained by multiplying the matrix A by the previous column. So A by X A squared by X and so on until we complete the square matrix. The last will be A to the power n minus 1 by the same vector. Well, let us suppose that this tree of matrix is non-singular. Obviously, this depends on the choice of the vector. For now, it is an arbitrary vector, it's sub-zero. Let us suppose this. Then, let us consider a QR factorization of K. We know all about the QR factorization. There are many QR factorizations in the non-singular case, one for another, only for phase factors, and also this. Then, let us multiply this matrix by A on the left. And let us give a look to each column of this product. The first column, the matrix A, by the first column of K. But let us write all this. A by A squared. So all the powers are increased by one unit to the last. Now, I want to write again this matrix in terms of the matrix K, the Krylov matrix, because the first column of this matrix is equal to the second column of K. So here I may write K by the second column of the identity matrix, and so on. I need more room. The last column, I write it again in this form. Well, the last column can be written, last column it is the power with exponent n of A by generic vector. If I remember the K Hamilton theorem, what stated that theorem? That the characteristic polynomial P computed in A vanishes, makes the zero matrix characteristic polynomial. So also P of A by X sub zero makes zero, the zero vector. But P computed in A is minus 1 to the n power plus so on. This is characteristic polynomial. So the leading term of this polynomial is exactly, but for the sign, the power with exponent n of a. So I can write that this vector can be rewritten as a polynomial of degree n minus 1, the terms from here till the constant term. And this is important, this is essential, if I want to write, this is my goal, the matrix K that comes from the second until the last of the identity matrix, the last column, since it is a polynomial of degree n minus 1 multiplied by x0, can be seen as a linear combination of all the columns of k. So here I can write some vector z, since I'm sure at this point that this column can be seen as, I say it again, a linear combination of the first, the first n minus 1 including its sub zero columns of k by z. Z is some vector. The conclusion. I have written. That the product of A by K is
K by this matrix. This matrix has this form. It's an essence of matrix. On the last column, I have a column vector z.
But I have factorized k as qr.
K, qr, qr. Special matrix. Then we put
the factor Q on the left, the factor R
on the right, and we find
a unitary transformation to a Hessenberg form.
In fact, you find R
there are many zeros, and here I have the inverse of R.
Matrix on the
right-hand side as Hessenberg form, because if I multiply Hessenberg matrix by a triangular on the left or on the right, here we have both on the left and on the right triangular matrices, the inverse of triangular is also triangular, is triangular too. We maintain the Hessenberg structure, so this is a Hessenberg matrix, and I have infinitely, as I told before, at the beginning of this expansion, Hessenberg forms depending on the choice of the first vector, the vector which appeared in the first column of the Krylov matrix K. This is a theoretical result which can be summarized in a few words by saying that the QR factorization of the Krylov matrix gives us a Q matrix the QR we need essentially the Q matrix factorization of K gives a unitary transformation of A into a Hessenberg form. Just remind also that the first column of Q, the first column of Q is x0 normalized. So if I start from a normalized x0, I can state that matrix Q as x sub 0 as first column. This nice result can be seen as the starting point to introduce another famous method for the tri-diagonalization of Hermitian matrices. So now I suppose that A is Hermitian. From this result, I can say that A can be transformed into a Hessenberg form, but in the symmetric Hermitian case, the Hessenberg form is also tri-diagonal Hermitian. When I'm reasoning with unitary transformations, it is simple to realize that I can prescribe that the final three-diagonal matrix will be symmetric, real Hermitian, so it will be symmetric. So T, I am searching for a matrix T the alphas are real, the beta is starting with the index 2 Also, the vita can be made real.
So,
all is real.
I know that
there must be possible there is possible find matrices Q such that U initial A Q makes T symmetric. The question is, how can I find the matrix Q? The idea of factorizing the answer, if I take into account the previous result, the answer could be, I construct the Creel matrix and I compute the QR factorization of the Krylov matrix. But there is another way, simpler way, which leads us to the so-called Lanczos method. Lanczos was a Hungarian mathematician. We give only the definition of the method. It is not a recursive method. It is an explicit method. The formulas given us the matrix Q and the matrix T are directly obtained from the equation I know I am sure that Q and T exist. I choose arbitrarily the first column Q sub 1 of Q, since it corresponds to the arbitrary vector X sub 0 of the Krylov matrix. First columns. On the left I have A, just remember that A is second column, alpha 2, beta sub 3, A by the first column of Q, the first column of Q by T, first column, alpha sub 1, which multiplies Q sub 1 plus beta sub 2 by the second column of Q, which are the unknowns in this equation. I know the matrix, the given matrix, the first column, but I don't know neither alpha 1 nor beta sub 2. If I multiply all on the left by the conjugate transpose of this vector, on the left and I obtain this, on the right I obtain the scalar product of Q sub 1 by itself, which makes 1, plus the scalar product between these two vectors, which must be orthogonal, 0. The first And three of the three diagonal metrics under construction, alpha sub 1, will be given by simply which is real since A is Hermitian. Let us go on. Now we have to find beta and q sub 2. Always from this relation, from this equation. Put on one side on the left the term containing beta, beta sub 2 by q sub 2, by q sub 2, will be equal to A minus on the right we know all the norm, the two norm, the Euclidean norm. The modulus of beta, the norm, since this is normalized, the norm, the two norm of this vector. It is free, you can simply choose the betas, not only real, but also real and positive, non negative. So here we can also drop off the modulus. You can choose beta simply as the two norm of this difference. Finally, q, at this point, if we call this vector mu sub 1, will be given by 1 over beta by the vector of mu sub 1. So at this point, we know q1, q2, sub 2, alpha 1, and beta sub 2. Next step is the real same. This is a reduction column by column. At each step we obtain a new column of Q and a new column of T. Second step, second column. Second column, A multiplied by second column of Q equal to the second column of Q by T. So we have beta sub 2 by 1 plus alpha sub 2 by 2, beta sub 3 by sub 3. In the same way as before, you find immediately that alpha sub 2 is given by real. Then beta sub 3 will be equal to the norm of A by Q 2 minus minus this. We know all of that. Q sub 2, beta 2, Q sub 1, alpha sub 2, Q sub 2. So this quantity is computable. And finally, the third column, no, Q, one of, over beta, sub 3, by, let us call this vector V, we have called it V sub 1, so this is V sub 2. In this way, we complete the construction of Q and T. Question, possible, there are possible breakdowns of this procedure. The possible breakdowns are given possibly by the presence of this beta here and also here and in the denominators of these ratios. Is it possible that some beta is zero? Yes, it is possible. But this is not a real problem. Depending on the choice of what? Of the first column of Q, which was arbitrary, and it corresponds, as I told you before, to the choice of the vector x sub 0 in the Krylov matrix. Depending on the choice of this vector, some beta sub I can be zero. But this, what does this mean? This does mean that I break the construction of the three-diagonal matrix for the reason that the three-diagonal matrix splits into more diagonal blocks, so I must restart from the column having the index corresponding to the beta which has value 0. So this means simply that I break the matrix into the problem, I would say, into smaller problems. This method was discovered in the 50s. So it's an old method. Whose possible usefulness was underestimated in the classical version, this method, the Lanczos method can be unstable. Indeed, I do not use unitary matrices. The formulas which have been obtained are algebraic formulas with differences, sums, products of matrices by vectors. So, round and arrows can propagate, causing possible losses of orthogonality between the columns of the matrix Q, which is under construction. Can be stable, and this can be checked by inspecting the orthogonality of the columns of Q. A possible possible way to fix this, this instance is reorthogonalize Q with an extra amount of computational costs. Another way to get rid of this is to use this method in a different way. More recently, it has been shown that under generic assumptions, if I stop the method before it becomes unstable, under generic assumptions, if the method is stopping at the stage step k, the matrix the k by k trigonal matrix which has already been obtained, the tailing part of the matrix must be computed, has not already been computed. This manifold of size k has eigenvalues which approximate well the extremal eigenvalues of the Wohl matrix. The extrema, the largest and the smallest eigenvalues of A. This is a nice property. It was discovered recently, and this is the reason why this method can be reasonably applied when I need only the largest and the smallest eigenvalues of a matrix. So I start with launches and without requiring reorthogonalization, I can consider, I can pick the eigenvalues of this small matrix as good approximations of the desired eigenvalues of A. In MATLAB there is a function 8, the general purpose function is 8. The modified version of 8 is 8, which uses the Lanczos method exploiting this property, this idea. So A gives only, I don't remember how many eigenvalues of the given matrix by using the Lanczos method. Well, I would stop here. We have seen several results regarding there are different methods for computing eigenvalues, and some important questions like the role of the Krylov matrix. The next topic, which will be developed in 2 weeks, I will see you again next week, not tomorrow, will be the discrete Fourier transform and also fast algorithms for the discrete Fourier transform. We will see these algorithms, this problem, and the fast algorithms which have been developed to compute this quantity as a special case of matrix multiplication. We will follow a simple scheme to introduce these tools. We will see that for special matrices, which are met frequently in application, the product of these matrices by a generic vector can be performed in Vigo of n log n instead of n to the power 2. Well, I will show you some example all chosen in the framework of linear algebra programs. Okay, we'll stop here today. Domande, questions? Beh, ci vediamo settimana prossima, quindi martedì la settimana prossima. Okay.